Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden will speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin this afternoon ahead of a series of diplomatic talks in January over Russia's military buildup on its border with Ukraine. The call was requested by Vladimir Putin. Ghislaine Maxwell has been found guilty.
A jury handed down its verdict on Wednesday following days of deliberations in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. The jury considered the case after hearing weeks of testimony during a trial in a New York federal court. Maxwell awaits sentencing and faces a maximum sentence of 65 years behind bars. The verdict comes more than 2 years after Epstein took his own life while in jail awaiting trial on similar charges. From the USA Radio Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
It should be noted Epstein's death is in dispute. Both the FBI and the Department of Justice Inspector General have ongoing investigations surrounding his demise. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
With joy, hope, and happiness that comes with the Christmas season, so does debt. And this year, as inflation is out of control, that debt might be higher than you think.
The average American is owing more than $1,200 after this holiday season. Fears of the Omicron variant and higher prices didn't stop holiday shoppers from going big this season. LendingTree says more than a third of consumers reported they spent more than they could afford. While most put the debit on their credit cards, nearly 40% used the buy now, pay later financing to help spread out expenses. This type of payment method grew in popularity during the increase of online shopping during the pandemic. However, it's been found that installment buying encourages consumers to spend more than they can afford. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
A White House COVID-19 briefing Wednesday revealed a paper from the University of Edinburgh that suggests Omicron has a two-thirds reduction in the risk of COVID-19 hospitalizations.
One in three adults has prediabetes. One in three. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While one in three adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
As the federal government admits the pandemic fight needs to be at the state level, the mandates issued from the White House are unconstitutional and an overreach by the Biden administration. South Dakota Governor Republican Kristi Noem is leading the pushback and tells Fox News this issue will be another wake-up call as the Supreme Court gets involved next week.
Well, I'm thrilled that President Biden is finally agreeing with me. We have asked him to back off of these mandates. We have told him, and now we're suing him in court. Frankly, the federal government doesn't have the authority to take these types of actions by requiring people to get vaccinated for their job or to receive federal funding or if they want to have a contract with the federal government or even participate in Head Start contracts. So we are suing him in court, and those will be heard within a week in the Supreme Court. We're looking forward to those being heard because we'll win. And I think the president does know that he's on very shaky ground here. It's interesting to me for him to say that the federal government isn't the answer, that the answer has to come from the states, when that's exactly what us as governors have been asking to let us do. Let us have the flexibility. Let us use personal responsibility. Trust our people to make the right decisions. So South Dakota has done that all along, and we've proven that it works. And I'm hopeful that President Biden will back off and start focusing on what his job actually is.
Six new dinosaurs, an Indian beetle named after Larry the Cat, a dozen crustaceans were among 552 new species identified by scientists at the Natural History Museum this year. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
And independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. And I'll tell you, it's great to have our next guest, Lee Strobel. It's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk, but we're going to talk about his new book, A Case for Heaven, that is now the number one new release in apologetics at Amazon. Lee, congratulations.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, I like what you tweeted out here just moments ago. You said you met a guy at church over the weekend who had been seriously ill a few years ago. He showed me a framed prescription that was among those his doctor wrote for him. The patient did recover and is now a Christian. Awesome. Tell our audience what the doctor prescribed for him.
Yeah, you showed me this prescription that he had framed. And it said, The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. Apparently, the doctor had sensed that this guy had some spiritual issues or questions that he needed answers to, and he recommended my book. And sure enough, the guy not only got well, but he came to faith.
Well, and that's incredible. You know, and what's so timely about this? We were just talking that. You know, I've traveled, you know, cross country from Florida. I'm in California right now, but before I went all the way to Hawaii, I was in Maui and Kauai. And in talking to people, and Lee, the question that comes to me, people ask, Bill, is God judging us? And I say, well, you know, regarding COVID, especially in Hawaii, they were wired so tight. The aloha spirit is, as one writer said, it's now anoha. It's so tight, and everything's about the mask and everything else. I mean, it's really sad because, you know, this is a very loving people, and the island's
right.
Very welcoming. And boy, I'll tell you, it's gone through a metamorphosis, to say the least, as a result of COVID. It's affected everybody. But, you know, what comes to mind, and I shared this with our audience a couple of weeks back, is that in the Old Testament, remember when, Dallas Jenkins with Chosen played this out well in talking about Nehushtan and the bronze snake being raised up Joshua going, wait a minute, what are you doing here? Is this, you know, an idol that you're presenting? He said, I don't know, but this is what God, you know, I don't think so. This is what God told me to do. So, I'm, you know, everything God's told me to do up to now has worked. So, hey, I think we ought to do this, you know, is in a sense conversation that you could kind of believe that might happen. And when the people looked upon the raised snake, they were healed. And I somewhat see the relevance in saying, where are we in raising Christ? If we raise Christ up before the masses around the world, can we expect a healing? Is that a possible answer?
Well, you know, no question that the whole pandemic has affected people in a deep way. 29% of Americans either know someone who has died of COVID or they've had a relative die of COVID. I lost my brother at the beginning of the pandemic. Thank you. It's been hard. And I think a lot of people are asking the questions about, you know, what does this mean? I think, you know, if it points us toward God, if it points us toward the fact that we are headed down some really troublesome roads in our country and in our world, that's a good thing. I mean, if any good can come out of it, perhaps it can raise our awareness that You know, the fact that the Romans says the earth groans because it's, you know, and like it's in childbirth because
exactly.
Sin has affected not only moral decisions that we make, but it's affected the world. It's why we have things like pandemics and wildfires and earthquakes and things like that. And, you know, so is there hope? You know, I remember the famous speech that Chuck Colson gave a number of years ago before he died. You know, was it, where is the hope? Where's the hope?
Yes.
Well, there is hope. And,
yes.
You know, I remember I was having lunch with my wife just a few weeks ago, and the waitress was about 18 years old, and we got talking to her. She started to cry, and we said, what's wrong? And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. I almost didn't come into work today. We just lost a close family member to COVID. Mm-hmm. And I thought, here's a young woman, 18 years old. She probably never thought about death before. Probably never, yes. You know, was an issue mm-hmm. to her. She had her whole life ahead of her, and now it's come knocking on the door of her family. And now she's asking questions. You know, what happens when I close my eyes for the last time in this world? Is there an afterlife? Can we know? Can we be sure? Now, what about
exactly.
reincarnation? Is that maybe that's mm-hmm. an answer? And so that's why I'm hopeful that my new book, The Case for Heaven, will be an encouragement to people to point them in the direction of the hope that we do have, who is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, amen. And and for you, again, and somewhat the same pattern as A Case for Christ, your journalistic skill set is in, you know, investigates the evidence for life after death, which I love. I mean, it's just like, you know, Lee, God has blessed you with so much in this particular arena. It is it's true genius, as one friend of mine would say. It's God's super on your natural that gives us insight on this in such a profound manner that it. Just like with this woman, at least pause to think, have that Salem moment to say, you know, even you know, like people have questions and say, well, Bill, is God judging us? Well, is it going to hurt you to think that he is? Or
yeah,
will this
right.
help you? You know?
Right. And I think, you know, the nice, by the way, thank you for the nice compliment. The nice thing about the approach I take as a journalist is I don't have to be the world's leading experts. I just find the world's leading experts and I interview them. And so I see my role as kind of a bridge between the scholarly world and the everyday world. I ask the questions that are on my mind. I'm an average guy. And if they can explain all this highfalutin scholarly stuff in language I can understand, then I can pass it along to the rest of us who are wondering about this stuff.
Why this book, Case for Heaven?
Well, you know, 10 years ago, I almost died. My wife found me unconscious on the bedroom floor, called an ambulance. I woke up in the emergency room. The doctor looked at me and said, you're one step away from a coma, two steps away from dying. And then I went unconscious again. And I had a condition called hyponatremia, which is a precipitous drop in my blood sodium level. And it caused my brain cells to take in moisture. And, of course, that starts making your brain expand within your skull. Well, there's no room in there to expand. And so I had hallucinations. I fell unconscious, and I would have died. And so fortunately, they were able to save me without any damage. About 25% of people with this end up mentally or physically disabled. But they were able to save me from this. And you know, I don't know if you've ever been on the edge of death where you're kind of floating between, you know, death and life, not sure which place you're going to come out on. It's a really clarifying experience. And even though I'm a Christian and I believe what the Bible tells me about the afterlife, I'm still kind of a skeptic by nature. My background's in journalism and law, so I tend to ask questions.
Right.
I tend to look for evidence. And I thought,
right.
How do I know? Does this make sense? Does the biblical description of the afterlife really make sense? And so I started working on this book, and I interviewed neuroscientists and philosophers and theologians and historians and so forth, and tried to lay out a strong case so that people can have confidence that you know, in fact, the Bible says these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order to may know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want
exactly.
us in a state of anxiety or uncertainty or apprehension. We can know for a fact that there is an afterlife and that we will spend eternity there with God.
Lee, would you say that you had a near-death experience?
No, not exactly. That's a good question. You know, a near-death experience, I was very skeptical about those, first of all. I thought they were kind of a new-agey thing, and it wasn't a near-death experience in the sense that I had an out-of-body experience and went to heaven or things like that. But I began to investigate that, and I found there are over 900 scholarly articles written in scientific and medical journals about near-death experiences over the last 40 years. This is a thoroughly researched subject. And
exactly.
What I did...
Well, Lee, we got to go to break. We got to go to break real quick. Let's pick it up from there when we come back. More from Lee Strobel after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. Santa Claus may be the most famous bearded man during the holiday season, but we're taking the time to acknowledge some men who are using their beards to make an eternal difference. Our 2021 Year Beard Challenge is coming to a close, and with over $25,000 raised to help buy more airtime for the Tide Ministry's gospel radio broadcasts in Asia, Africa, and Europe. Men putting down their razors and growing a noteworthy beard is an excellent way to start conversations and to have a chance to share both the good news of Christ as well as what the Tide Ministry is doing around the world. We're grateful for the men who've used their beards to advance the gospel this year, and we're hoping for a new crop of whiskered disciples to carry on the tradition next year. To learn more about the Tide Year Beard Challenge and how you can grow your beard to help others hear about Jesus, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Top of the hour. Great to have you with us. I'm Bill Martinez. Lee Strobel, the best-selling author, continues with us. We're talking about his new book, The Case for Heaven. Of course, many of you remember Lee, and I'm sure you have shared his book, Case for Christ. It's a perennial favorite, which details his conversion to Christianity. And now he gives us insight based on his journalistic investigative talent and giving us a case for heaven and evidence for life after death. Lee, before the break, you were talking about the process here, and I want you to pick it up from there, if you would, please.
Sure. You know, this issue of near-death experience that you brought up, I think, is a fascinating one. Because we have, and this is the key part, there's two things about near-death experiences that I learned that blew my mind. First of all, we have multiple cases, and I talk about them in my book, where we have corroboration that a person did separate their spirit, their soul, their consciousness, did separate from their body a clinical death, and they did experience things and see things that they otherwise could not have seen. For instance, there was a woman named Maria who had a heart attack. She died. She's clinically dead. She describes later how her spirit, separated from her body. She watched the resuscitation efforts, and then her spirit floated through the hospital, out the roof of the hospital, and then came back into her body. She was revived. And she said, by the way, there's a man's tennis shoe on the roof of the hospital on the third story landing, and it's a blue shoe and it's a left footed. And there's some wear mark over the little toe, and the shoelace is tucked under the heel. And they went up there and found it exactly as she described it. That kind of corroboration tells me that there is a process where our soul, our spirit, does separate from our body, just as Scripture talks about. You know, Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Our soul separates from our body. And that's just one of many documented cases where we have corroboration. And so that tells me, number one, that near-death experiences can tell us that indeed our consciousness or spirit does live on. And then secondly, I interviewed John Burke for my book. John Burke is a researcher in near-death experience. He studied 1,000 of them. He's also a pastor of a church in Austin, Texas. He's also an old friend of mine. We used to serve together on the staff of a church about 25 years ago. But anyway, John had done all this research, wrote a best-selling book called Imagine Heaven. And his conclusion, this is shocking, his conclusion is that when you yes, there are peripheral differences between some of these near-death experience accounts that people have, but there's a common core to them. Common things tend to happen. And when you look at that common core, they are consistent with Christian theology.
Yes,
that was
exactly
really important to me, that this is not stuff that is contrary to what the Bible tells us, but it is consistent with what Scripture tells us. So
exactly.
I have a whole chapter in my book where I give examples of this kind of corroboration, and I'm telling you, it's really amazing stuff.
I'll tell you, several years ago, we had the privilege to talk with Todd Burpo. Maybe he was part of your group, and you talked with him, and he's a pastor, and his young son, who had a near-death experience, and what he relayed, I mean, he was too young. I mean, he was like, I think, 4 or 5 years old, but what he relayed to his parents was just unbelievable. I mean, even to the point that when he was in heaven, he met his sister, that he wouldn't have known anything about. This was a sister who died early, as you know the story.
Yeah.
And, boy, I'll tell you, it makes the hair on your arms, you know, raise up because
That's
of
right.
the story.
Yeah.
And, of course, it went on to become a movie as well. But go ahead.
That's right. And we have multiple cases of young children who die. And in this near-death experience, they meet a sibling who they did not know that they had, who had died before they were born.
Yes.
And their parents were going to wait until they were older to tell them about them. And yet they meet them. And you know, that's another form of corroboration. So, you know, that I think is extremely persuasive evidence that there is life after death. In fact, I found an interesting statistic. 27% of agnostics and 13% of atheists believe that there's some sort of life after death. So that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, and you would think that if you believe there was life after death, the question is, are you prepared?
Exactly, exactly. And you know, the Bible it tells us explicitly that this salvation or the gift of eternal life is a gift that is available because Jesus died as our substitute to pay the penalty for the sins that we've committed and offers forgiveness and eternal life as a free gift of his grace. That's a message that is relevant to every human being. We're going to spend a lot more time in the world to come than we are in this world.
Well, without a doubt.
It's important that we know. Yeah.
In your conversations with these scholars, Oh, gosh, I wish I could have sat in on some of those. Just unbelievable. I mean, I imagine you probably couldn't take notes fast enough.
Yeah, it's so funny. Normally when I interview Schuyler, I have as many as 6 tape recorders running.
I did a
famous interview a number of years ago with Charles Templeton, the former pulpit partner Billy Graham, who lost his faith. And I had 2 recorders, and one of them failed. So I was glad I had a backup. So these days I have like 6 of them just to make sure that nothing fails. But, yeah, I mean, to be able to sit down with these scholars and spend a day like this neuroscientist from Cambridge University, who I interviewed about the existence of the soul. And she demonstrates that, you know, it is reasonable to believe that we are more than just our physical brain, but that we have a spirit, we have a soul. And she gives evidence for that. And this is important stuff for us to understand, because we need to know that our faith in Christ, that what the Bible teaches us about the afterlife, is consistent with what neuroscience tells us. It is consistent with what near-death experience tells us. And that gives us confidence.
Yeah, exactly. What it does is reinforce. It's not necessarily that the scientists have the final word, because we know that the final word comes from God Almighty himself, does it not? Right.
Absolutely. And none of this replaces what the Bible talks about, of course. It just corroborates it further and tells us that, you know, our faith in Christ is well-placed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the thing that really brings a dimension to the Word of God, that God, in fact, did really say. And all these things are there for our discovery. It's not like he's some, you know, like he's, you know, hiding a piece of cheese or something like that.
Right.
I mean, it's right there for our investigation if we're going to spend, you know, and invest the time. And in this particular case, I've got to believe for you, Lee, I mean, here you were, a one-time atheist, and your faith has continued to grow as God has continued to, you know, pull back like an onion skin more and more revelation and understanding of who he is.
That's right. I mean, what brought me to faith mostly was the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. And that's incredibly relevant to the topic of heaven, because if Jesus did indeed die and then was resurrected 3 days later, he's an eyewitness to the afterlife, number one.
Yes.
And number
right.
two, it validates his claim to be the Son of God, so he created the afterlife. And so what Jesus says about it is extremely relevant. And what I love about the way Jesus talks about heaven, he uses a metaphor of a home. You know, he says, there are many rooms in my Father's home. And, you know, it made me think, you know, if you've ever traveled internationally maybe for a long period of time and it's kind of uncomfortable in a little primitive conditions and you're living out of a suitcase and you begin to have homesickness. And then when you finally get home and you crawl into your own bed, it's such a place of security and warmth and love and comfort. And Jesus uses that metaphor to say that's what heaven is like. That, you know, this world is not your home. That heaven is your home. Yeah.
And there's something about that instinctively that speaks to our heart. It's like the word of God says, it's that word that goes out and finds its mate. And this is what this does as well. Lee, what about the people? We got about a minute left here that say, look, I appreciate the case, but it's almost like I don't want to know, because then I won't be accountable.
Yeah,
what do you say?
I think, you know, God gave us the world to look at to show us that he exists. But he gave us scripture to help us know more specifically about who he is and how we can know him personally. And, you know, he gave us apologetics or, you know, the research and the studies for evidence of the faith, I think, to bolster the faith of people, to understand that this is not make-believe wishful thinking, but this is based on solid foundation of truth.
The Case for Heaven, a journalist investigates evidence for life after death. The New York Times bestselling author Lee Strobel has been our guest. Lee, congratulations on the book. Thank you so much for being with us. The book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. God bless.
Thanks so much, Bill. You too.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
USA Radio News.
New York City business owners are speaking out against a vaccine mandate. It requires kids ages 5 and up to show proof of vaccination in restaurants, fitness facilities, movie theaters, museums, and the like. One business owner spoke to Fox and Friends.
I think we got to move at a little bit of a slower pace at certain times. We're having a difficult time, as is, with this Omicron, where people have slowed down coming into the restaurants over the last couple weeks, and we still have never gotten really back to full capacity.
President Joe Biden plans to speak with Russian President Vladimir Putin over the phone on Thursday. NBC News reports the scheduled talk comes amid continued tensions over Ukraine. Russia has amassed some 100,000 soldiers along its border with Ukraine, raising fears among many in the international community of an impending invasion. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Poundy Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Walking around, some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. I'm on top of the world, down on creation, and the only explanation I can find.
With the America, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us, and I've been looking forward to this conversation with Chris May about this new book, Carpenters, The Musical Legacy. Chris is a longtime Carpenters expert and historian, a 16-year moderator and contributor for the popular online Carpenters discussion forum at A&M Corner, and a consultant, freelance music director, and arranger himself. Chris, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, Phil. It's my pleasure, very much so. Thank you.
Well, the Carpenters' sound was so distinctive, and the way it came on, it really burst into the scene, and regardless of some criticism and what some people may have thought of, you know, Richard Carpenter and Karen Carpenter just took over the marketplace. And their popularity grew so dramatically in spite of some of the early criticism, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's really the byproduct of a timeless sound. First, of course, with Karen's unmistakable lead vocals, Richard's arranging and production style and songwriting, and, of course, those classic harmonies, which were created by the two of them. You know, a lot of people, even to this day, don't completely understand how overdubbing works, but to create,
exactly,
you know, four, five, six onward, you know, up to seven, eight parts and, you know, double and triple track. I mean, it's they were really a brand with that sound. I mean, there's no mistaking them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was as if the gods, you know, so to speak, had deposited into Richard this sound. I mean, because it was something that was, bouncing within his own mind, and he was determined to find it. And the way he orchestrated layer upon layer to come up with this unique brand is a story in and of itself, isn't it?
It really is. And I've often said, even as we were compiling this this enormous book, you know, I said, you know, it really, the Carpenters sound, and we're talking even pre-Carpenters as we knew them on the A&M label, but as they were even teenagers and they were developing individual, their individual talents, and as they came together to eventually form the Carpenters, you know, the technology that was available at the time they were evolving, we're evolving right along with them. And, you know, without getting too into the minutia, you know, with the ability to overdub and multi-track recording on the tape, and this actually, you know, goes to another point, but it ties it all together. You know, Karen could have sung in any genre. I mean, had she been born in the 30s or the 40s or the 50s, of course, she wouldn't have had the Carpenters then because she didn't have the technology that was required in the studio to create all of that layering and overdubbing. But they really, you know, it starts with that, you know, you've got that voice, you've got, of course, Richard's just impeccable ear, not only, as I said, to arrange and write songs, but many songs that they recorded and made hits were songs that were written by others. Paul Williams would be a great example, and right. Roger Nichols. Richard had the ability. He was a born A&R man. He knew how to pick songs and how to key them. And that's just as important. I mean, finding a song with a strong melody, memorable melody, a great lyric, that adds to the timelessness of what we know now as Carpenters. And I believe that they'll live on for many, many generations.
Exactly. Well, Chris, you yourself being an arranger, I liked what Richard said in terms of arrangement, that he could get songs and by bringing in the arrangement magic, so to speak, or touch to a song. I mean, certainly he did it with these iconic hits, you know, that Karen sang that others had covered. They came out like Ticket to Ride, certainly. I mean, their own version of Ticket to Ride, Close to You, and even taking, you know, Paul Williams' song, his iconic We've Only Just Begun, which was done for a local bank there. But you get Richard who comes in and he hears these songs and reads the lyrics and with it, he's got this almost, you know, prescribed filter of arrangement that comes into place that made it just so unique and magical.
Well, and really took them and made them the definitive versions. Hurting each other is another, Ruby and the Romantics. You know, he heard coming home from school one day and filed at the back of his mind. He said, I know that could be a hit. And he thought for sure that their version was going to be a hit, and it wasn't. And eventually he made it that with Karen and the Carpenters. But it really, to be able to, you know, he could do that if he heard a song that he knew was right for Karen, for her voice, for the Carpenters sound, which also had to be, had to involve the ability to create backing vocal harmonies and things, you know, because that doesn't always work. I mean, you can take sort of a prescribed formula and say, well, okay, we're going to throw it here, we're going to throw it there. But it wasn't that simple. I mean, really, the song had to be there, the potential for the hit had to be there, it had to be the right vehicle for Karen's voice, and ultimately for their work together. And when that happened, he would hear the entire song finished in his head before he ever got it down on paper in the studio and on tape. It's remarkable, the man's talent.
You know, without a doubt. Chris, I also appreciate that, you know, Richard would write the song and arrange a song that would complement Karen's voice. It only makes sense, you know. I mean, here he is. He's not a studio type writing for different people or some, you know, some nondescript talent. It was for his sister, and he knew exactly her range. He knew how to bring the music to highlight certain parts of her her vocal skill and abilities and that to really accentuate it. I mean, it is quite magical, I say. And these are some of the things I remember being on the radio, and as I said many times, playing their music. And, you know, and I had a boss that would say, you know, sometimes there are things that occur in any kind of creative forum that people may not understand. It's so subtle, but it's there that you may notice it if it wasn't there, but when it's there, it's just what kind of completes the whole package. And to me, this is what Richard Carpenter was so expert in doing.
Absolutely. And it really, more than anything, and I've mentioned this to him on several occasions, it really speaks volumes to his ability, because one of the hardest things for any artist to do is to self-produce, because you're almost too close to the source, so to speak. And it's very easy. It's very easy to hear certain things that you like. So in Richard's case, if one has a decent ear, or has the ability through, you know, trickery or phase cancellation or whatever, their software, their programs, things that you can do to kind of manipulate the mix to bring certain things forward that you wouldn't otherwise hear in intended mix. And you hear all kinds of things going on in the arrangement, and it's just phenomenal ideas and hooks and counter melodies. And most people don't even have any clue that it's, as you said, they don't have any clue that it's happening. But if it wasn't there, there would be a piece of the puzzle missing. And Richard was very careful to not make it about him or about what he was doing, even in the backing vocals. It was really the right blend of the two of them layered and creating this harmonic sound, and with Karen on the lead. And remember, back, as you know, being in radio, you know, especially back in the 70s, you know, the leads weren't always pushed out in front as far. I mean, you know, it was real common to have a lead vocal sort of buried in the mix, and you've got all of this other stuff going on. With Karen, that wasn't the case. They were even very careful to make sure she was pushed out in front. And on remixes that he's done since he's passed on, he's been careful to feature her even more. And that's a sign of a great producer in my mind.
You know, without a doubt. Got to go to break. We've got more from Chris May after this. Stay with us.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. 855-525-7448. That's 855-525-7448.
If you thought you missed the lowest mortgage rates in history, you're in luck, because they're back. Mortgage rates are near historic lows again. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Second chances don't come often, and you may never see these rates again. So refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed rate at 1.875%. Yes, 1.875% with a 2.01 APR. Call the experts at Network Capital now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 1172. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Financing Law. Number 603D77. An Equal Opportunity Lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available to rate law. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool.
With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
Bad theater seats, cheap Halloween masks, my apartment, all things with obstructed views. Add to these large trucks and buses. 18-wheelers and large buses have big blind spots and, like my apartment, they don't always have the best view. Bus and truck drivers deal with blind spots around the entire vehicle. Always take care not to ride alongside or too close behind them. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?
14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us. We're continuing our conversation with Chris May, talking about this new book that's incredible, Carpenters, the musical legacy that Chris and Mike Lennox have written with Richard Carpenter. Richard writes, "With some trepidation, I ventured into the rarely visited Carpenter's archives and discovered among the large number of career-related things, items that I'd forgotten had existed but were nevertheless extant. I trust that you will find some of this arcana to be of interest." For anybody that was a Carpenters fan, it's more of interest. This is just phenomenal to get into. These are some weeds you don't mind getting into, at least for me. I was and still remain a fan of the Carpenters. And I think, especially during this Christmas season, when you hear Karen's voice coming through, whether it's any one of the iconic Christmas songs, and of course, Merry Christmas, Darling. And I can't help but my heart go out to Richard and think what he must feel during this time to hear his sister's voice, because you can't get away from it, during the Christmas season.
Well, I think more than anything, he's had a season in his life where he's very proud of the work they've done. Of course, that's not going to bring Karen back and thinking right about it. But, he's been very, very careful to continue to protect their legacy musically. He's done, as I said, he's been an overseer of their catalog, really from day one. Back to, of course, when Karen was living, and they both were very protective of their work. But he hears their stuff from time to time, and of course stuff will surface on public television, especially this time of year. There's a program,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, and I think more than anything, he's grateful for the remarkable work that they did together, the timeless legacy that Karen has certainly left, and the fact that so many of these great songs and records are just as exciting today, if not more so, than they were when they were making them. Nowadays, it's cool to talk about it. Back then, you had to, pretend that didn't know.
Hey, I was on the air at that time, so I know. And some of the pushback, and like you said, and you point this out in the book, that the Carpenters at times were not perceived as cool, but still, it's like people still went ahead, and it's almost like people, they created some closet fans for the Carpenters because, whatever music they produced, all you knew is that they continued to sell millions of copies. I will say this, and I share this with you, Chris, mid-80s, I think it was somewhere around 84, Richard did a special concert
And it was with the Garden Grove Philharmonic in Orange County, California. And I happened to attend that evening. And it was such a special evening. And I looked forever afterwards. I said, there's got to be some orchestral version. You know, somebody had to capture this on, you know, on record. I was associated with a local radio station there at the time. And I looked and looked, could not find. But I'll tell you, it was such, it, to me, of all the concerts I've gone to, it still is in my top five most favorite concerts. And this was just Richard with the Garden Grove Philharmonic doing the Carpenter's catalog of music. It was just so incredible and precious.
Well, I can tell you that it does exist, and I have a copy of that performance on vinyl, so you and I can touch base at some point later on about that. But you know,
no way, you're kidding me. You have
no,
that?
I have it in my archive, yes. I have that performance at the Garden Grove, yep, with the symphony. He did Fantasia. He did a whole number of tunes, but it's on double-sided vinyl, so yeah. He just recently recorded an album on at the request of Decca Records that will be out on January 14th. In fact, a number of the songs, I believe two of them, are already available for download. And it's a piano solo album that he did, really reimagining a number of the Carpenters, the songs that he and Karen recorded, all on solo piano. So he's still working and arranging and doing what he loves.
Wow. How did you get together with Richard? I mean, because here you get together, I mean, you know, and look, I've been in radio. I've been around the business for a long time. I would have given parts of my body to have an opportunity, a 5-minute meeting with Richard Carpenter just to say hey and, you know, how much I appreciated his gift because he's been such a blessing. But here you get to meet him, and now you and Mike spend hundreds of over 100 hours interviewing him, going through his archives, like you said, his archive. You've got archives. It's amazing. And I'm envisioning as you're going through this process, it was probably like him doing a studio production, very precise and just layer upon layer. And, you know, ideas would come up and you'd say he'd escape. He'd go downstairs and go into the archives and he'd bring back information and the history of the particular topic that you guys brought up. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah, well, Richard and I have had a distant relationship for quite a number of years. In fact, about 15 years ago, I asked him if he was ever going to consider putting this kind of book together, because as Mike and I have said, since he and I met 4 years ago, you know, if there's a book that you want to read that hasn't been written, to quote Toni Morrison, you have to write it. And yes. So that's really what this was. And, you know, I was very, very privileged to spend quite a few days down in the archives myself, going through a lot of things that he really gave us, you know, carte blanche. I mean, in terms of being able to go through, my wife is actually a graphic designer. She was very involved on the pre-production element and all of the scanning and the digitization of these images off of slides. I must have gone through at least 70 or 80 boxes of Kodak, meticulously filed and archived slides. Outlining your career, and then there were a number of other covers downstairs. When I say downstairs, he has a media underground under his house that houses a lot of this, and then he also has another a warehouse about 20 miles away that also where he keeps his classic car collection and also a number of other things. So related to Carpenters. And so what would happen is, as far as the images, a lot of the photographs go, I went through and selected hundreds of photos, and then he and I sat together and we sort of weeded through them and decided what would go in and what wouldn't. But as far as a lot of the ephemera and the artifacts and things like that, being in music myself, there were just things that came to mind. I thought, you know, let's pull the chart, the orchestra chart for this, and how about, you know, the tape boxes for this, and I wanted to put, you know, some of the early recording contracts and acetates and things like that. And so he would, that stuff he had to look for because he had to, you know, locate a number of these things. But it turns out he had not only a lot of these things that I would ask him for, but that he would stumble across quite a number of other pieces of ephemera. And then he would, you know, I'd show up at the house and he'd have boxes laid out for me. He'd say, well, I don't know if you could use this or what do you think about this? And then there were things, of course, that he had in mind. And he said, I really want to, you know, I want to put this letter in here or this particular, document or something and that kind of thing. And it was really, he was very respectful. You know, here he is, he's really the subject here. When he wanted something a certain way, really, of course, wanted to make sure that things were right, which was all of our priority. I mean, we wanted it as accurate as possible. But if there was something that he wanted in there or didn't want in there, of course, he always got the final say. But he was very respectful of Mike and me and what we were all looking for, because I really believe that we were all on the same page from day one. Otherwise, he never would have – Richard doesn't normally agree to do this kind of thing. So yeah. It was a blessing, I mean, to say the very least, as you know.
Well, and he even opens up about his relationship with A&M, bringing out a little bit of the stuff out of the drawer there with what they dealt with and his frustration about how he felt like they were being managed or the lack of management.
Yeah, I think that one thing that I learned about him working this closely, and I think Mike would agree, is that, you know, Richard, in addition to being a very humble man, he's also very compassionate. There were a lot of details in the story over the years that were left out of interviews because I'm talking specific either to management or something on the, administrative side of what was going on at the label, production, that kind of thing. Not because they were hiding anything for the sake of hiding it. It was because they didn't want to hurt any of the family members. They didn't want to. They really took the high road when it came to a lot, even if it meant, you know, taking a hit in the story and right. Really looking, they just didn't, and I think to their discredit, and Richard will admit now looking back, they should have spoken up sooner about things. They had a manager who really was acting as an agent. It was really about just making as much money as possible as quickly as they possibly could. He had somebody else getting credit as a producer who really wasn't acting as a producer, but again, with the politics and everything that was going on, and of course, they didn't want to rock the boat. You know, they worked so hard to get to get their recording contract, and now they had carte blanche. So, you know, a lot of it was also just a lack of experience. And I think by the time they moved so quickly and had so much. I mean, if you go through this book and you look at all of the concert dates that we've outlined, and even in that there are a few holes and things, you know, but we got it as close as we possibly could. It's amazing they even had time to breathe. I mean, they
Well, Chris May, this is a real gift, what you and Mike have presented, and Richard, a real gift to Carpenters fans, the musical legacy. This is going to be linked on our website, of course, available at all the usual places. And I cannot thank you enough for, you know, being so open, for Richard's openness and all the hard work that you guys put into this. I mean, over 100 hours of interviews and, you know, going through all the archives and everything like that. This is a great... I look at it as a great Christmas gift that you've given us, all his fans that are Carpenters. Chris Mabe, a longtime Carpenters expert, historian, 16-year moderator and contributor for the popular online Carpenters discussion forum at A&M Corner, and a consultant, freelance music director, and arranger himself. Chris, thanks again. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bill, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.